is your prayers that the Lord would help us to be able to bring out the thoughts that He has laid on our heart. I would like to start by reading some in the 91st Psalm. If I had time, I could just read the whole Psalm, but I won't for sake of time this morning. But I'd like to read 91st Psalm and read maybe the first six verses. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday." Like I said, we could go on, and I would encourage you can read that in your devotions. But I'm thankful this morning for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the stability that it brings into our lives. I'm thankful for the balance and the direction that it gives us. Because, dear ones, without the Word of God, we're just like anybody else. But with the Word of God, when we apply it into our hearts and lives, it will bring stability into our lives. It'll bring balance. And it will bring direction. It will give us direction on the way that we should go. A few weeks ago, when all this rioting and protesting started, I opened my Bible and I turned here to this 91st Psalm. And I began to read. And as I read, I began to feel the feelings that were trying to impose themselves upon me begin to lose their grip. Perhaps you felt some of those as well. Frustration, anger, feelings that would rise up maybe because of the injustices that are being perpetrated. Feelings of betrayal. Do you know our nation has gone through a lot that has rocked our nation the last few years? We had all of the political issues, all of the investigations, impeachment. There's things that have happened, and it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. People just felt betrayed by their leaders, by different groups. Things that were happening, corruption that's coming out of things that have happened, and it's been a trying time for our nation. Then we had the COVID virus that came along, and you know all the things that have happened with that, and the fears, the frustrations that have been involved. Then we had the issue with the officer that nailed on the neck of the man, and even though he was pleading, he couldn't breathe until he suffocated him, he died. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know all the details regarding this, but it seemed so wrong. And I could understand the frustration and the anger that some of his family may have felt because of what happened, and as those that were there and watched it and those that weren't there no doubt have watched it over and over on all the videos that have been taken of it, as they watch their loved one as his life was choked out of him. You know, that'd be a hard thing to take, wouldn't it? There's all kinds of things like that that have happened. And I believe that people, most people in our nation today that heard it, no doubt felt a sense of injustice, and that something needed to be investigated, and that it was investigated properly so that it could be dealt with properly. That's just a natural reaction when people see something that they feel is unjust or that's not right. And so that was the feelings that was going across our nation. But then the pendulum began to swing in the opposite direction. Dear ones, I want to caution us this morning. That is exactly what the enemy's purpose is. In everything that he's involved with, he wants to cause chaos and confusion. He wants to bring trouble and heartache. He knows that if he can take and he can swing that pendulum as far as he can in one direction, then the farther he can swing it in this direction, it'll be that much farther that it'll swing in the opposite direction. And when that happens, people can get caught up in that. And it can move them from the place, those solid principles of right and wrong, of where they should be standing. And so that's why the enemy, he does this. And he takes that, and when he pushes for things to happen and incites things and tries to do things, his purpose is to pull that pendulum as far as he can in one direction. Because he knows it's not long till it's going to go back in the other direction. And dear ones, this can happen in a natural sense, and it can happen in a spiritual sense. You can find, and I've watched it happen in my lifetime different times over and over, where something happened and the enemy would cause someone through compromise or fanaticism, and they'll do things, and I've watched it, and you watch it's like it's pulling the pendulum. And when people begin to see that, and they say, well, that's wrong. It's not right. And what happens is, before long, as it begins to go in the other direction, you'll find it can carry people along by the force of the events that are happening around us. And so, my caution to us this morning is, Lord, help us to be vigilant of what the enemy is doing. And why he's doing it. Because his purpose is to destroy. Before we know it, when that happens, we'll find ourselves being carried away from that real solid rock, Christ Jesus. That foundation of truth. And we'll find ourselves, if we're not careful, as we're carried away, taking stands and doing things that are not supported by the Scriptures. Because what happens is, it's so easy to get carried away with something, and then all of a sudden you find yourself over here taking a stand, and you realize that's not biblical. It's not supported by the Scriptures. And so we have to take heed to those things. We can also feel justified in what we're doing because of the events that are happening. There's a scripture in Colossians, the first chapter, I believe. I may have mentioned this in a different message a while back. But it came to my mind as the Lord began to talk to me about these thoughts. In Colossians, the first chapter, and the 23rd verse, he said, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Dear ones, regardless of where we have stood or how we have lived in the past, our only hope of heaven is if we do what the Apostle Paul said here. He said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The things that you and I are bombarded with on a daily basis are designed to move us away from the hope of the gospel. From that solid foundation, Christ Jesus, the principles of truth that he has given us to guide us and direct us throughout every incident in our life, everything that we face, God has given us. And they're designed to cause us to take stands that are not supported by the Scriptures. And to cause us to be out there in a place where all of a sudden the Lord comes by and he says, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong position. It's not supported. Jesus warned us of this. If you look over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and again, I'm not going to read all of this, but in the Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 24th verse, Jesus was relating the parable of the man that built the house, the one on the solid rock and the one on the shifting sand. And he told him there, and I want you to notice what he says here. He said, he that heareth and doeth And then he goes on and he said, he that heareth and doeth not. The one that heard and did, he likened him to the man that built his house on a solid rock. And he said, the storms came and the rains and the winds blew against it, but it fell not because it was founded on something solid. But he said that he that heareth and doeth not, he said he's like the man that built his house upon the sand. And when the waves came and the storms came, great was the fall of it. Do you know, dear ones, this is why I say this morning, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Because, dear ones, it will keep us grounded in truth. If you and I will take the Word of God, read it daily, apply it in our lives, commit it to our memories, let it be settled in our heart, written upon the tables of our heart, dear ones, it'll keep us grounded in truth. It doesn't matter what we're facing out there and what society's doing. If we get a hold of these things and we hide these truths in our heart, it'll keep us from being carried away by the waves that the enemy has sent to try to overwhelm us, by the pressures of life that are pushing against every one of us. The psalmist David of old, if you look in Psalms, the 119th chapter, in Psalms 119th chapter in the 11th verse, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Dear ones, the word of God is a stabilizing influence upon the lives of those who will allow the word to be able to take root and work in their lives. It will give us a stability. It'll give us direction. It'll bring balance when all these competing forces are pressing against us and we're feeling attitudes and we're feeling feelings and all these other things that are just imposing themselves upon us because of all that's happening. If we'll take the Word of God and hide it in our heart, it'll give us a balance. It'll give us stability in our lives. But unfortunately, many people have rejected the Word of God. Our society has banned it from our public schools. And people have found other things to fill their time and their attention with. And we're seeing the results of it in our nation today. We're seeing chaos. We're seeing confusion. We're seeing bitterness and envy and jealousy. We're seeing division. We're seeing strife. We're seeing murder. Things that are clearly against the principles of truth that are outlined in the Word of God. When you look over in Ephesians, and we'll just turn there for just a little bit, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 17th verse, and if you go on down through, and I'm just going to drop down to the 31st verse, but if you look at all of this, the Apostle Paul begins to describe some of these things, and he begins to give us instructions on what to do and what not to do. And he says in this 31st verse, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Here we begin to find the Scriptures beginning to draw some clear boundaries. Here he's telling us, he says, don't do this. Don't let this bitterness and anger and wrath, don't let it be once named among you, it says in one place. And then he goes on and he says, and be ye kind one to another. Do you see the Scriptures begin to form a clear boundary, doesn't it? You know, our nation was founded on principles of truth out of the Word of God. And these biblical principles allowed our nation to be established and settled. But dear ones, as people have rejected these principles of truth because they don't conform. They don't conform to how they want to live, how they want to act, or how they want to react. And so, they've pushed this aside like we heard in Sunday school this morning. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when that happens, it's a dangerous thing. Because when people know what is right and they reject that because the flesh doesn't want that, it's a dangerous thing. I want to turn over now to Romans, the first chapter. The Apostle Paul describes the condition of a people and what happens when they reject truth. He said here in Romans, the first chapter in the 28th verse, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Dear ones, I want to say it again. When people know what is right, and they reject the principles of truth that God has given to guide us and to direct us, it's a dangerous thing. Because, dear ones, if God allows a person to go their own way and He allows them to be given over to a reprobate mind, as it says here, there's no limit to what people will do. When you look at, I wrote it down here, Webster defines reprobate as an unprincipled person. When people reject the principles of truth that God has given us in His Word, dear ones, they have no moral boundaries. Now you notice I was reading up there earlier and the Apostle Paul was laying out some things and it was giving us boundaries. We're not to have these kind of feelings of anger and not just giving ourselves to those things. He also told us what we should do. So the Scriptures, all through them, give us some clear moral boundaries that we should put in our lives. And when something happens, and when the pressures of life and all the things that happen that are causing this pendulum to swing one way or the other, when we begin to see it swinging and it says, whoa, wait a minute, it's crossing a boundary here. We can't ride that pendulum. Folks, we've got to say, no, this is it. The Word of God says you can't do this. You see what I'm saying? So what happens is the Word of God, it stops that pendulum from swinging, doesn't it? In our lives. It gives us balance. It gives us stability in our lives. But when we don't have those moral boundaries in our life, dear ones, there's no limit to what a person will do. When people reject the principles of truth that are given to us by God in the Word to guide us and direct us in our lives, they have no moral compass. They have nothing that helps them to understand, well, what do I do here? I don't know what to do here. When all these things are happening, these uprisings are going on, and the temptations and the frustrations of life are pressing, it's like, what do we do? If you don't have a moral compass, if you don't have moral guidelines in our lives, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a dangerous place. And people will go, instead of being guided by those, that moral compass and those boundaries, they begin to do what the flesh wants to do, the carnal flesh, the desires of the flesh. And so it's whatever happens. And because of that, the Apostle Paul said here, this 31st verse, he said, they are without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. He said, implacable, unmerciful. We're seeing a lot of that in our society today, are we not? Without understanding. Have you looked around and you watch the things that are happening and it's like, why would they do that? Some of them are going into their own neighborhoods and burning things down and think, why? I listened to accounts of shop owners that they had come in. One lady, it was telling her that she and her employees were hiding in the restroom fearing for their lives as they came in and they broke through the glass and they just rampaged through the store and They looted and all of these things. And she said, I supported their cause. She said, I was making money in my store and I gave a lot of money to this cause. But it didn't keep her from her store being destroyed. And you look at that, and I think about they've attacked people, they've killed people that were actually on their side. But it's just like the mob mentality when they went through, they didn't care. It's just this, they were driven by something. This pendulum was swinging and they were just going with it. He said here, without understanding. He went on, he said, without natural affection. We see that so much, do we not, in our nation today? It happens, dear ones, because people have got away from the principles of truth within the Word of God. You see parents killing their children, children killing their parents without natural affection. There's something happened, dear ones, because you see these things and you think, why? How could you do that? It's because they got away from the moral compass. They've got away from the moral boundaries that God has set that holds things together and that gives stability in our society, in our lives. He said, implacable and merciful. Oh, we see that so much, do we not? People are unmerciful. I listen to accounts of people as they went through and they were attacking people and they were pleading, please, they were innocent. They hadn't done anything to provoke it, but they were just beating them and kicking them while they were down. It's because, dear ones, and not everybody in that movie, I'm not saying they're all, but what's happened is there are people who have lost their moral compass. And so they're getting and they're using these things and they're taking advantage of it. Dear ones, my main burden this morning is that we recognize how people get into these kind of places. And I'm going to tell you the way it happens. It's because the enemy of our soul is very sly. And he knows how to get people to move away from those deep convictions of truth and right that they have down in their hearts. And he does it by causing things to happen that will carry them away with the events that are happening. And as they get caught up in this thing and they begin to move with that, they begin to do exactly what I've been telling you about, and they move away from the boundaries, the foundation, the solid foundation that God has given us. And you can see that example in what's happening in our nation today. What the enemy did was he caused something to happen that was terribly wrong. People recognized it. There's a reason why people recognize something is wrong. We'll touch on that in a minute. But they recognized it and it caused an uproar. And instead of people allowing the principles here of the Word of God to guide and direct their lives, they instead begin to take and they begin to take matters into their own hands. And as this pendulum begins to swing, what you have found is one wrong has now perpetrated many wrongs. And you begin to find people doing things and taking matters into their own hands that are completely contrary to the Word of God. But they got caught up with this. And now I'm going to share with you some things and be very open with you. This is what the Lord began to talk to me about. As I begin to read and listen to all these things that are happening, of these riots, these protests, and I begin to see where they were vandalizing businesses indiscriminately. As I said, many of them had nothing. There was nothing that provoked it. It's just they happened to be there. That it was their business. And I begin to see these things happening. And I begin to see them going in and looting and destroying people's livelihoods. And I begin to watch as they unmercifully begin to attack people. And not just individuals there, police officers that had nothing to do with it. And I begin to see all these things happening. I'm going to tell you, and I told you, I'm just going to be very open with you. I begin to feel some of those feelings trying to impose themselves upon me. Feelings that I didn't like. Carnal feelings. Feelings that this is wrong. They can't do this. You see what I'm saying? And as I was hearing these things, I was thinking, this is not right. And I began to feel those things trying to impose themselves upon me. And that's when I was there and I began to look into the Word of the Lord. And as I began to look into the Word of the Lord, I began to feel the grip of those things that was trying to impose itself on me begin to loosen its grip. Dear ones, I warn us this morning, the enemy is out working. He is doing everything he can to destroy every soul that he can. And that includes you and I. His purpose is to try to swing that pendulum, as I said, as far as he can. Because there's something that happens. And as that pendulum swings so far, what he's doing is he is attacking our sense of justice. There's something within us that says that's not right. And that's the next thing that I want to go to this morning. I believe, dear ones, it's important for us to recognize why we feel these feelings of injustice within us. And I believe it's important for us to understand how to deal with them, lest the enemy of our soul takes advantage of us. Because I'm going to tell you, he's there to do that. And not only does he try to impose those feelings, the next thing he'll try to do is come by and to accuse you. Well, you must not be sanctified. You must not be saved if you even have a thought like that. You see what I'm saying? But what I want you to understand is there is a moral law within every one of us. God created us with that moral law, that we can understand the difference between right and wrong. And so when something happens and it's wrong, we feel a sense of injustice. And there's something there that begins to rise up and say, wait a minute, this is not right. There needs to be justice. There needs to be something that happens here. God told Cain when he slew his brother in Genesis, the 4th chapter. Genesis, the 4th chapter, in the 10th verse, he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. There was something that was done, that was wrong, that was perpetrated here. And he said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. There's an injustice here. And dear ones, all down through time, man has felt that sense of injustice. When they see that, and so there's something that happens. David of old felt that. If you go over to 2 Samuel, and you can read the story, you know it, in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, starting in the first verse. This is where Nathan came to David and he began to tell him about the man, the rich man, that had all the sheep. And he had visitors come, and so he took and he slew the poor man's pet lamb. And he began to tell David about this. And if you look down in this 5th verse, and it said, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David, as he listened to this, that sense of injustice that was there within him, that moral law that said, that's wrong, it can't happen. There was something that rose up within him and said, that man should die. Well, you and I know the story. That man was David. The prophet Nathan was coming to him and telling him about something that he did. And David, when he recognized it, he said, I'm the one. I'm the man. After Nathan told him, thou art the man, he humbled himself. But the reason I bring it out is because I want us to understand, dear ones, that even people that are doing wrong still have this moral law within them. There's something within them that tells them, this is wrong. It shouldn't be right. You know, even Christ himself felt that sense of injustice. If you look over, and there's different scriptures in Matthew, the 21st chapter, and John, the 2nd chapter, you'll find these scriptures where Jesus when he went into the temple, and when he went in there, and he saw all of these people selling things and making merchandise in the temple. The people were required to offer sacrifices, and so when they came, and the poor people and all, and they didn't have anything, there were people there to sell them those things. And Jesus, when he came in and he looked at all of this, he saw the wrong in it. There was something within him that said, this is wrong. This is my Father's house. He said, you made it a den of thieves. And he drove them out of the tabernacle. And the reason was, dear one, was because Christ knew very well the cost of the plan of salvation. He knew what his Father had set in place to bring about this perfect plan of salvation for mankind. He knew why his Father gave the law to man, because he was trying to help them to recognize the penalty of sin. And yet, here these people were coming in and making merchandise of the plan that God had for mankind. No doubt they were cheating people. No doubt they were stealing from people, because what did he say there? He referenced them and he said he called it a den of thieves. And so he dealt with it according to their understanding. You know, the Bible says in one place, a hint to the wise is sufficient. All you have to do is mention something and a wise man will get it. These people were not wise, or they wouldn't have been doing what they were doing. And so God dealt with it. Christ dealt with it in a manner that got their attention, that they understood. And so he drove them out of the tabernacle, and he told them, and his purpose in this, and this is what I want us to understand, dear ones, his purpose was to let them know what you're doing is not acceptable. What you're doing is wrong. You cannot please my Heavenly Father when you're doing these kind of things. And so he drove them out. They were like, wait, what's going on? He wanted them to know, you can't do this in here. This is wrong that you're doing. But I want to tell you, dear ones, he didn't do it with a carnal attitude. As some in our world would say today, he didn't do that. You will not find here or any place where Christ was rising up and defending himself. You will not find where he was taking and had a personal vendetta against someone. You don't find that he went to these people, and down as you look down through the scripture, you don't find him saying, now that's the people, and I wanted to tell you, you know, he didn't do that. All he did was simply he made them leave the tabernacle. Do you know Christ loved them and was willing to give his life for them, just like for you and I? That was the attitude and the frame of mind that Christ had. His whole outlook was different than what most people in our world today. There's a scripture over here in John, the 6th chapter. John, the 6th chapter, in the 38th verse, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Do you know, dear ones, this is something that you and I must remember when we are facing things like we're facing in our nation today. It's something that we must remember when you and I are facing personal conflicts, where people come against us. They cast our name out as evil. They speak despitefully and reproachfully of us. They falsely accuse us. This is a secret that we must remember when we're facing those things. And that is, it's not about us. It's about the cause of God. When you look at this, Christ said, I came not to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father. You know, the Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse, he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know, dear ones, we begin to get in trouble when we begin to take things personal. I've watched this happen over and over. I've watched it happen with ministers, right, that have been right among us. And yet, something happened and they begin to take it personal. And the next thing you know, they begin to react in a way that, well, there was something in them that said this is not right. But what happened as that thing began to go and the devil began to push it, the momentum of that thing had them out here and they began to take stands that were not supported by the Scripture. And then the enemy had them in a place where he could destroy them. Do you know, dear ones, that same thing can happen to every one of us. And my burden this morning is that we recognize what the devil is doing. What causes us to feel some of these things. That sense, that moral law that says it's wrong. But I'm going to tell you, we've got to be careful with that. That's what got Cain in trouble. It's what got Saul in trouble. The psalmist himself nearly got swept away with these things. If you look over there, he said, my foot had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What happened was, he got his eyes off of the cause. He got his eyes off of God and what his cause is. And what it's all about, it's not about me anyway. It's about the Lord and his kingdom. And he got his eyes on these other things and he began to see what other people were going through in their lives and compared it to his and others. And he's like, this is not fair. You see that law within us that recognizes right and wrong, and it says, well, how can this be right? Why can they get by with this and I'm over here and I'm not? You see, there's something there that says that's not right. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when we get our eyes on those things and we begin to take it personal, that's when, if we're not careful, we'll get carried away by the emotions, by the things that are happening. Paul said here, you're not your own. Dear ones, if you and I will hide these truths within our hearts, these principles of truth in the Bible, it'll keep us from being carried away by the things that the enemy has sent to destroy each and every one of us. And whether it happens in our nation or where it happens in our individual life, you can count on one thing. The devil is going to send things to try to cause you and I to be carried away by the events that are happening around us. Instead of the principles of truth, we'll find ourselves looking at it from a personal viewpoint. And then we'll begin to get carried away here. Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you see, there's something different here. He had consecrated those feelings, those emotions, to his Heavenly Father's will in the garden. Dear ones, we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to consecrate our feelings of right and wrong. We're going to have to consecrate our feelings of injustice to the Lord and to his cause. And if we don't, we're going to find ourselves carried away. Do you know how we respond in these kind of situations? Will determine the type of spirit that is controlling us. If we have a carnal spirit, when we are faced with those feelings and those emotions, when we're faced with things that just says that's not right, we're going to respond to those things carnally. But dear ones, if we have the Spirit of Christ, when those things come, I've been open with you, when I begin to feel those things, I tell you what the Lord does. He comes by, and when you begin to feel those things beginning to try to impose upon you, the Spirit of the Lord will come in and he'll check you. And he'll say, better not do that. Better not go down that path. Because if you do, it's going to lead to a path of destruction. Do you know, I'm thankful this morning, as I say again, for the Word of God. I'm thankful this morning that we can have something to bring stability into our life. Something that can guide us and direct us. And when we're there and we're saying, Lord, I know this is not right. I know this is not right. Why is it that this is happening? The Spirit of the Lord can come in and say, yes, it's not right. But let me show you the right way. Do you know what happened to Christ was not right? It wasn't right at all. But he had the right spirit. and He showed us the right way. He demonstrated to you and I that when these things happen, it's not about us. It's about the cause of God. And do you know, dear ones, when we go back to the Word of God and we begin to have questions and we begin to see things, if you and I will begin to do just like I did, when I begin to feel those things, I turn to the Word of the Lord. And I began to read. And as I read, I began to feel the things that the enemy was trying to impose and sink his claws, so to speak, into me. I began to feel them lose their power, their grip. And I began to see the boundaries clear. And I began to see, this is not what the Lord wants. You see what I'm saying? And I began to see the mercies of our God and how He begins to come down and work with our lives. And so this is my burden this morning. Dear ones, I want to encourage you. We are facing some very volatile times in our world today. We're facing some times where, I mentioned it here a while back, I watched there at work as those protesters came in, and I watched them get right up in the face of those police officers and make all kinds of hard, call them pigs and all kinds of things. They were there, and there was one motive. They wanted to provoke them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the devil's motive. He wants to provoke us. He wants to cause us to say, that's wrong, and we sense it and we know it because God put that moral law that says, that's wrong. But I'm going to tell you, there's a higher law than that, that Christ wants to come in and help us to recognize, yes, it's wrong, but there's a right way to handle it. Not the way that our world is handling it today. Not the way that so many people are out there doing. There's a right way to handle it. And my burden this morning is, Lord, help us to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That when we get to a place where we find that we're coming up against a boundary, and the only way we're going to know that is we're going to have to hide this Word in our hearts. But when we get up to a place where we find that there's a boundary, it doesn't matter if the pendulum is still swinging, we can say, nope, that's wrong. I can go this far, and I can tell you it's wrong, but I'm not going any farther than that because I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if we do, it will bring that stability. It'll bring peace. It'll bring comfort. It'll give us courage. It'll bring a real understanding of what to do in our lives. And dear ones, we won't be carried away by these things that are happening. But if I begin to do like the world, and I begin to not take time for the Word, I don't hide it in my heart, when we get to that place, it's going to be so easy for that tsunami, I can't even pronounce it now, when it comes in, to just overwhelm us and carry us away. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to you. Dear ones, I'll say again, our only hope of heaven is if we do like the Apostle Paul said, if we're rooted and grounded in the truth, if we hold fast that profession of faith, if we hold fast those principles of truth in our heart. It doesn't matter if I stood on those for 40 years, if I get carried away in the 50th year, I'll be lost. My burden, my concern is for every one of us to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God, because that's the place of stability. It's the place of safety, and I thank the Lord for it. Appreciate your attention this morning.